begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Yeah, I'm back.
And I'm back too. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
I'm Dylan Reeve, internet superhero.
And I'm Ben Gracewood.
From the television.
And the NZ Herald Twitter list. Oh my god, we're so lucky to have you.
You're so famous, yeah. Ben.
I deign to make an appearance occasionally.
I'm surprised you ever slum it with us.
I know. Too much going on.
So, once again, we're streaming live on discourse.co.nz/live, and also you're probably listening to this on the podcast because most people do. We are doing something quite different this week, though. We're recording on Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
Don't think we've ever done that.
But it's kind of a Tuesday, though, isn't it, really?
It is a Tuesday because Monday was a public holiday.
It's a Tuesday-Wednesday.
So it's practical Tuesday.
It's not even hump day. There's no hump day this week.
And in fact, because of daylight savings, it's also what time is it? It's like, it's later than it is or something.
Yeah.
It's like 10 o'clock already. I'm going to bed.
That's funny. No hump day this week. I guess you guys must both be married because I haven't found that.
I see what you did there.
This program may include adult themes and language.
Someone said the difference between a nerd and a geek is a geek is a nerd who has sex.
Right.
Oh, no, it actually said a geek is a nerd who has regular sex, and then someone queried whether that was sex frequently or often or just regular sex.
Missionary sex, you mean?
I didn't see the answer to that.
Right.
Missionary means it's for the purposes of procreation?
Regular, you know, just the regular stuff.
Let's see if my soundboard can start. Oh, it can. Oh, this is exciting. So what's happened this week?
A lot.
Nothing.
Zombie Jesus.
Zombie Jesus?
Yeah.
That sounds terrifying.
Zombie Jesus in the spring carnival, I like to call it.
Zombie Jesus with the bunnies. Is it like bunnies with the big pointy teeth and so on? Are they the only way to fend off the zombie?
I'm not sure.
They're one of a number of ways.
Could be a zombie sheep. I only said that because I don't have a sound effect for a rabbit, whatever that would be.
Quiet.
Oh, very Ben quiet. Knows what the sound effect for a rabbit would be. It would go, crunch.
I wasn't in attendance. I don't know what sound it made.
Oh, too soon.
I wonder if the sound it made was, I'm going to get you this time, you little bastard. I'm pretty sure that's what your wife's voice sounds like. Am I approximately right?
In case the listeners are wondering, we had a rabbit that used to hang out around the house, free range, very friendly rabbit. Lived in the backyard.
No, I'll get that rabbit.
No, it lived in the backyard. Also had a penchant for sleeping under cars, which didn't end well, as you can imagine.
No. Well, free-range rabbit probably means it was extra delicious.
Yeah, true.
Just in time for Easter, too. Yum.
It's a hole in the backyard.
Oh, no, I'm told that right now, as we're recording, there's been a large earthquake, an 8.9 or 8.29. I can't tell what that is from that notation in Indonesia.
Off the west coast of northern Sumatra.
8.9.
Holy crap, it's 500 k's from Banda Aceh, which we all know the name of.
Yeah.
It
could be huge, or maybe not.
Preliminary magnitude, 8.9. Crikey dick. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that as we record.
Hopefully no tsunami.
Hopefully no tsunami. Because they can hit big quakes, and if they shove sideways, they don't produce tsunami, do they?
Yeah. Whew. Terrifying. That stuff, it all gives me the shits, because what do you do? So, I mean, we had a story tonight. I happened to watch TV, Close Up, believe it or not. TVNZ, thank you for paying the dividend, but aside from that, fuck off, you suck. And they had a story about how apparently they're planning on taking up to 5 years to repair Christchurch's roads. But they don't appear to be doing anything special with them. They're building them exactly the same way they were before. And now it's an earthquake city, right? So they're just going to keep getting smashed up, surely.
Well, is it, or is it a once in a 200-year event, and it's not going to happen again?
Well, that's what they. I mean, if it keeps going like it has been, then surely no one's going back. Really, after a while,
it's tailed off a lot recently, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should ask Leighton if it's tailed off. He hasn't been talking too much on Twitter about the, you know, the big rolling, smashing, noisy, you know, upsets in the night and so on lately.
Yeah, I do wonder sometimes if that's people getting used to it or whether it's no longer happening.
Yeah.
You know?
He says in the chat room, no felt quakes for a long time, which, of course, is not the same as no quakes. It just means that the magnitude is sufficiently low that he wasn't aware
of. Or they're all just ridiculously used to them now.
God, that could be it, eh? Like being on a boat, you know? Yeah, you get used to walking with a rock.
Yeah, and then you'd fly to Auckland and you'd get off and you'd walk and you'd be like, why is the ground
start
moving?
Throwing up. The room is spinning. What is this? I can't stand it.
So the good analysis is that everything's settled down. The bad analysis is that there's more tension building up in the fault.
Oh.
Which I would hope it wouldn't be.
Oh, I think we all know that, you know, it's the wrong kind of tension is a very bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Misery. Well, I'm glad I don't live there. Good for the people who do and have stuck it out. But yeah, so they said 5 years just to fix the roads. Never mind the whole central business district, which is now a desolate wasteland. And they've just asked, I think, for another 18 months to smash down what's left. Is that right? 18 months?
Yay.
Mm. I briefly read someone posted hundreds of pages of documentation around the cathedral.
Yeah,
and it's the way I read it. I mean, Leighton may know more about this too, but it was that there was a plan in place, there was costings in place to save the cathedral, basically reinforce it and everything else.
Yeah,
and Sarah kept coming back and saying, "No, look, it's still falling apart. We've seen it been moving, all this sort of thing." And there were responses to that letter saying, "Here's some photos 3 months apart, and there's been no change whatsoever in the state of the building."
Yeah,
and yet Sarah kept on coming back and saying it's too unsafe because it's still moving. So, yeah, it felt like they'd made up their mind about pulling it down and were then simply responding to every, you know, every piece of input with no, it needs to be pulled down.
Looks, I find that very hard to believe about the was it Christchurch emergency earthquake rebuilding, whatever they are, Earthquake Recovery Authority?
Captain Brownlee in his underpants.
They seem very good at what they do. I haven't heard any terrible stories about them at all.
Don't say that word Brownlee too often because I'll have to beep it out every time.
God.
That's not a beep, it's a bell.
Speaking of Brownlee.
Voicing all over the podcast.
Speaking of voicing Brownlee.
Yeah.
Did you see the article about the wonderful quality of our state highway spending?
No, I didn't see that. Tell me about it. I think it probably is quite wonderful. I like some of our new roads. They're very smooth.
It's actually one of the shorter posts on transportblog.co.nz, which is quite cool because quite a few of them are good, but so long that your average Herald reader wouldn't look at them.
Yeah.
But this one is just pretty straightforward. Here's some numbers, here's some graphs.
Yeah.
And they talk about the BCR, the benefit-cost ratio. So, you know, if you put a dollar in, you get a dollar back.
Yeah.
If you invest a dollar in a road, you get a dollar back. The BCR is one.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, deemed a low BCR or a medium, I can't remember, one of them, there's high, medium and low BCRs. Anyway, there's some graphs which you should put in the show notes, which basically show that in the years of National, the last 3 years, the ratio of low BCR spending has gone from around about 5% to around about 80%. So for every dollar, percentage of dollar spend approved on roads, in the last couple of years, it's been 70 to 80% low return value. And for a bunch of...
So they're building useless roads, is what you're saying?
Yeah, effectively.
Oh, my God, the graph is appalling. It doesn't make sense without the graph, but if you see it, it goes from... in 2005, 2006, in terms of percentage of dollars approved for this BCR...
High BCR is over half, right?
So they've... In 2005, 2006, it's roughly equally divided, high and medium.
Yeah.
In 2006, 2007, it's still pretty much the same. It looks like we've got about 5% or so.
I mean, medium BCR says, look, we've got to spend on these roads. They may not be the best investment in the world, but we need to put them in place.
Yeah.
Whereas high BCR is no-brainer. Let's build this road.
And every year from 2006, 2007 up to 2009, 2010, which is the latest year on this graph... actually, I'm going to paste this into the chat room as well.
So, yes.
so that they can follow along. You can see the curve is, it's sharp. It's gone from 5% in 2006 to about 60-ish percent in 2010. And it's just, it's stark. The high BCR approved state highway projects goes from over 50% in the space of just 4 or 5 years. It's down to below 5%.
It's bizarre. It's hard to understand what the reasoning is behind that change.
What the hell are they building?
Mm. I think what they are building is roads like the Holiday Highway that are, I don't know, good for holidays. As opposed,
I think that's stupid, though. You look at the traffic that goes. There's quite a lot of traffic that goes along that route.
But it's bullshit, though. I mean, there's never traffic jams there unless it's a holiday weekend. Like, we went up Friday, 11 a.m. On Easter Friday, and we were held up for an extra hour. Big fucking whoop, right? Who cares? We were going on a day trip. We had an extra hour on the car.
But what's the efficiency in terms of, you know, I mean, there's lots of agriculture north, there's lots of fruit and things. I mean, surely...
Put them on a train.
Well, yeah, that'd be nice.
If it's freight, don't put it on the road. The road is for bicycles.
Put them on a train or a boat. Bring it into the port.
Yeah, boats are really efficient. Boats are amazingly efficient.
Then march to the Auckland port and bring it all in there.
Or improve our rail network so that we can get stuff in really quickly right when we need it. Don't like the sound of that? Improve.
Don't get me started on the rail.
Oh, dear, the rail actually segues into one of my stories, one of my terrible, tragic stories that... I mean, it's not going to make you guys cry too much, I suppose, because if it was the other way around, it'd make you cry. This is from the Herald from April the 8th. Child sees dad crushed by train.
No, don't like.
Well, it's not dad sees child crushed by train.
No, but still.
The other way around is horrendous too.
Yeah.
It's a terrible story. It's about, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Simondre Robson, age 35, who was running to catch a train at Rānui. And because the platforms, they've, frankly, Auckland Transport have once again managed to cock up something that everyone else in the world seems to manage to do quite easily. They've got the platforms the wrong size. And there is a reason for it. It's because we're switching our rolling stock over, and the platforms seem to be designed for the new stuff, even though the new stuff doesn't arrive until starting next year and not finishing until 2016. So what they've got is a big gap.
It reminds me of when they bought the original powered carriages and they were too tall to fit through the tunnels.
And you can't just let the air out of the tyres.
No, I was actually, weird story, working in a radiator factory in the holidays at engineering school, and we had to rebuild the radiators for those trains because they had to pull the radiators out of the roof to lower the roofs down. So fucked.
Anonymous operations and Anon_Central have just tweeted tsunami warning for all areas of the Indian Ocean. So that story, that earthquake story, is definitely ongoing.
I think currently is the automated. There's no secondary warning from the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center.
Right. So this is. All right, so this is preliminary. This is just in case.
All automatic at the moment, yeah.
And hopefully it is 1 inch of tsunami or less. And and definitely, hopefully, it's not, you know, what we saw in the New Year's tsunami a few years ago. At the moment, the warning is for, well, all the countries around there, from Indonesia all the way over to South Africa.
And Singapore, yeah. Myanmar, Thailand, Pakistan, Mauritius. Yep.
Man, depending on the country, this is very self-centered of me. This is the worst thing I've ever said on Discourse. Depending on which countries get, hopefully not flattened, but possibly flattened, they will really change my my travel plans for later this year. I apologise for the possibly hundreds of thousands of people who will be dead between the time I said that and the time the podcast gets this. Oh, God. Oh, I regret it. I will travel to whatever fucked up country is left and spend some of my hard-earned tourist dollars to help them recover. Put it that way. How about that? I save myself? Oh. Oh, no, disapproving small bell. I'm sorry, people of Madagascar. I wasn't going to go to Madagascar anyway. You know.
Excuse me.
Anyway, this the wife let out a blood-curdling scream as she saw her husband dragged to his death under the busy commuter train. It sounds like he was basically torn apart. He was alive sufficiently that a woman who was there waiting for the train was able to at least sit with him, and he was making noise. She said he was making sounds that she hopes never to hear again. Hopefully the child was taken away, but more children arrived, and apparently it was just absolutely it was a scene of gore and blood everywhere. And then a group of 30 primary school children walked onto the platform with their teachers on a day trip. And these little children were going to be expected to get over the same gap.
Horrendous. I mean, I would hope that we get to a point where we can get a setup like Japan, where when I was there, Tokyo. I don't know if it happened to you, Morgan. It seems to happen pretty frequently. But I went up some escalators, and there was a bunch of dudes holding up a blue tarpaulin, and so you saw nothing, but you knew something was going on.
That was probably intentional suicide.
Yeah, I imagine so. It might have been that. But
I've just watched. Actually, this is not.
What's your auntie been talking
there's
about?
There's a documentary series, kind of a reality TV in the classical sense, not in the Survivor Desert Island sense. 6 episodes called The Tube. And it's all about the London Underground. And they dedicate an episode to what they call One Under. And, you know, no prizes for guessing what that means. And apparently it happens on average slightly less than once a week.
Yeah, I mean, we were there for a week, and you see various disruptions on the lines, and you don't know which ones of those are.
They clean it up quickly, but, I mean, so some of them are accidents, and the worst example of that they relate, and they don't show you anything. They show you some of the cleanup, but they don't show you and they show you some of the preparations of people about to commit suicide, but they don't actually show you the deed, thankfully, because, you know, there's no dignity in that. The worst example they relate is two boys who were engaging in horseplay, pretending to push each other in front of a train.
Shit.
And then one of them stumbles, starts to fall in front of the train, grabs his mate, who then reaches out and grabs an innocent bystander, and all three of them go under the train.
Oh, good God.
All three of them die. But what you see with the most beautifully put together examples of these, which I've seen in Bangkok and I've seen in Tokyo, you can't even get to the line. There's a full height wall in front of you, and doors that don't open until, you know, the equivalent matched up, lined up doors on the train also open up. So there is no way to have a terrible accident like that. And it is very, very difficult for people to commit suicide, because, I mean, you talk to some of the drivers, including immediately after some of them have hit people, you know, they have no way of stopping.
No. And given how well the trains line up with the entry and exit areas on those lines, there's no reason they can't do that.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, but it really puts into perspective this series, The Tube. I recommend people check it out if you have any interest in transport. That really puts into perspective the cost of not doing the maintenance and not doing the investment, which we are experiencing now, and which we are going to experience even more so. They're spending something like £15 billion over the next few years, just getting back to where they should be, just trying to struggle to catch up to demand, because they've got absolutely stuffed full trains, and we're going to have absolutely stuffed full trains very soon, if we haven't already on some lines, no doubt. And so they're spending, they spend millions of pounds a day just on staffing, and they're putting in new carriage and so on at the moment, and they're building new lines and upgrading stations, which is exactly what we've been going through at a slightly lower scale, much lower scale, maybe 1%. It's fascinating, though. The things that go on, you know, kind of behind closed doors in those places are pretty incredible.
Very.
All right. Anyway, this story is horrible, and the reason he went under this train is because Auckland Transport half-assed the platform, and they should be fucking ashamed of themselves, and someone should be goddamn fired for his death.
Yep.
Absolutely fired, because what does it cost to... I mean, it doesn't even need to be a permanent platform, right? You don't need to go all Cave Creek on the whole thing, but, you know, you can put something in that fits now, and then pull it out when we swap over.
You know, use some Dynabolts and bolt some steel plates.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. It doesn't need to be 100% permanent. Anything more would have been safer than what apparently is there, where you've got old people who are worried that they aren't going to be able to get off. They're having to get help from the conductor and so on. Instead of the conductor having to help people, how about you build a platform that's actually accessible for the people that you're serving? How about that?
Well, it's another reason why we can't have that rail loop, Morgan, because people will die.
Actually, you're right. Probably Secret Smile, Tony Ryle and Stephen Joyce, playing with the big boys now, they're probably saving lives, aren't they? And Jerry Brownlee. Yippee-ki-yay, Jerry Brownlee.
More roads mean less people will die. No one dies on the road.
You know what? You know another way that people don't die? If they stick with natural remedies. You know, modern medicine, I mean, it's a big business, isn't it? And all they have an interest is profit. Those big medicine companies, they're kind of more like industrial chemical providers, really. They probably do more harm than good.
I think those pharmaceutical companies probably make the sicknesses.
I bet they do. You should stick with safe stuff. So, I mean, for instance, if you had, kidney stones, maybe you could get some birthwort and that would make you feel better because, you know, we've been using that for centuries.
Birthwort?
Yeah, birthwort. This is...
doesn't even sound real.
It doesn't sound real, but it is very real. It was first identified in writing that we've been able to find by...
We, the discourse investigative team?
We being... Exactly.
Yep.
By one of Aristotle's students in at least 300 BCE. And he said, I presume it was probably a male student. I don't imagine Aristotle had many female students. He said that it was, you know, a herbal remedy. I don't know exactly what for at the time. And it's still used in Chinese medicine and Western medicine, Western herbal medicine as well. But scientists have discovered that it causes kidney failure and renal cancer.
Holy shit.
So you'd be pretty fucking sorry if you did use it.
Does it help you get rid of the kidney stones?
In the sense that you possibly die, I guess it sort of helps.
Sounds good.
You know, you don't. If I cut off the end of your foot with a jackhammer, you probably don't care that you have kidney stones anymore, just for a little while. You know, the pain of one probably covers the pain of another. It's been posited that the use of this birthwort in Chinese medicine is responsible for Taiwan's sky high rate of kidney disease, which apparently is quite endemic there. It's also known as Dutchman's pipes, which sounds dirty. It sounds dirty, but it's not. I promise.
It does.
Anyway, so this is a herbal remedy which has been used by witches and fake faith doctors or whatever the hell you want to call them for centuries, and it's time to stop.
So this is why the only, you know, even homeopathy, whatever it is vaguely okay because of the massive dilution that goes on, and even, you know, it's just water.
Yeah.
Whereas this stuff is dangerous shit.
This stuff is truly dangerous. Much more dangerous.
Has been rounded, what do you call it, updated down to only an 8.7. Only an 8.7.
What's that about? So that's about 40%, 50% lower magnitude or something, is it?
8.9, but it was only 33 k's deep, apparently.
Right.
So, just...
which is not deep.
The only thing about this earthquake is most people who are listening to this will listen to it on Thursday. We'll know all about the earthquake by then.
Yeah.
Well, now we know nothing. We're as bad as a cable news channel just reporting whatever...
This is true.
No, I can do this. I'm getting an M. Is there an M in the audience anywhere? Is there an M? Is there a Bob? Is there a Bob? Is there a Janine? Do I have a... I'm getting the feeling there's a dark spirit here somewhere. Is it a Z name or a B name? I'm getting that. It's I'm trying to tune it in. I'll keep trying to tune it in.
Okay, you keep going. I think you're on something.
When you find them, you should take a photo of them.
Yeah.
And turn it into a grainy 70s-looking photo and post it online.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be good.
Love the sound of that. I'd
use Pixlr-O-Matic.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I like the sound of that.
I'd use Camera Plus.
Oh, Camera Plus is great, but I use an Android phone, so I don't have Camera Plus, which is it's no question Camera Plus is the best camera app for iOS devices. Personally, I'd probably... Well, I wouldn't use anything on my phone because I've got an Android phone that sucks. I might use RetroCam. I might use FX Camera.
Isn't Instagram available for your Android phone?
Yeah, it is. It is, but I don't like it very much. And I get insulted by iPhone users if I have a post and they say things like, "Ooh, ooh, Android, ooh, get away from me."
They do not like it because silly iPhone users use it.
They are grotesque, those people.
I don't like it because it's shitty.
Yeah, it's useless.
It has been Instagram's week, hasn't it? So it started with the release of Instagram for Android, causing a furore.
Yeah.
Amongst iPhone Instagram users, for what the reason seemed to be starting that there were more blurry photos because Androids have worse cameras was the original reason for the backlash.
That's a reasonable complaint.
The backlash actually came before any photos were put up, though. The backlash came just because they think that it'll just stink up the neighbourhood. The iPhone users.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Of course, they're right. Many Android cameras are really bad. I mean, in that sense, they're right. But in another sense, you know, some Android cameras are actually better than iPhone cameras, but you just have to have, you know, the very latest ones.
Yeah. Apparently, just prior to that as well, prior to the Android release, Instagram closed a round of funding at a $500 million valuation. So a bunch of people invested $50 million.
That seems like too much, considering that they haven't... have they made $1 in revenue? No. What did you say, $500 million? That seems vastly overvalued.
It's all free, isn't it?
Someone must have lost their shirt on that.
I believe the app's free, and it's free to use.
Are there any ads on the pages?
And there's no website.
Not that I'm aware of. I haven't really used it that much, to be honest.
Because it's not very good.
That turns out, I mean, everyone knows this, we're kind of playing the story for money, but then Facebook bought them for $1 billion in cash and stock.
That's madness. That's Apple money.
It's absolutely bizarre. And did they?
They could have got Kodak for less than that.
The underlying story I think is interesting is that I reckon the reason they took that round of funding at $500 million was to get the billion, because you imagine the people that are investing in that, you know, investing $50 million in Instagram are the same people that have connections to Facebook.
Yeah.
So basically what they were doing is paying a fee to sell to Facebook. Yeah. That's why I see it, because, you know, you don't get to sell to Facebook unless you have those completely top of the line A-class investors.
Yeah.
Do you know there was another thing that sold for $1 million in technology this week? A billion. Do you know what that was?
No.
It was AOL's entire patent portfolio.
Really? That's a steal.
Yeah, but it's actually worth something.
That's a good point, though. Comparisons. So YouTube sold for $1.6 billion, which I think, you know, in retrospect, is probably a better investment. I don't know. AOL, was it MySpace? $500 million? Flickr was only a few million, I think.
Sucked in.
but yeah, it's bonkers. Oh, there you go. AT&T Yellow Pages sold this week for $950 million. Says
Flash. Which is, what was it like? Less than what? Didn't the Yellow Pages something like that?
Yeah, the entire Yellow Pages sold for less than Instagram sold.
Yeah. But no, also for less than what New Zealand Yellow Pages sold or something ridiculous. I can't
remember. That's right. The Canadian pension fund that bought New Zealand Yellow Pages got completely ripped off.
Considering the US one must be about 80 times the size, just judging by population.
150 million distribution that particular publication had, apparently.
Bloody hell.
So what? Yeah. What? Why did Facebook buy Instagram?
People were sharing stuff and tagging each other on the internet, and it wasn't Facebook.
There was that, but yeah, I think also the I don't know if it was why they bought it, but the thing I'm seeing is people want using more single use apps. So you open the Facebook app and kind of there's too many things to do, and I think that's why Twitter is going from strength to strength, because it's just one thing. You don't have to play Farmville or, you know, tag yourself in photos or anything else. You just tweet.
Yeah, I often get those little emails that say, did you know that you've missed a bunch of notifications? And I'm like, don't care. Yeah. No, I didn't. I didn't even really want to be told about it. I mean, thanks, though.
I put the Facebook app on my cell phone and turned on notifications. And it's notifying me I have 13 unread messages, but I can't find them. Yeah. They're unread messages that I got, you know, I don't know, a year ago or something. Who knows? And there's no, I can't, it doesn't seem to indicate which ones are read and which ones aren't read. So it's always telling me there's 13 unread messages.
Mm. So there you go, there's latent again being prescient. Facebook bought Instagram because Facebook know Facebook users actually hate Facebook.
Right.
So
they buy everything that's not Facebook.
Actually, and Hema does make a very good point. And since Facebook is a photo sharing app, and that is absolutely true, there are billions of photos on Facebook, right?
Yes, so many more photos on Facebook than there are on, you know, Flickr 30 and
minutes.
Instagram and everything else combined. There was a really interesting presentation about their photo hosting infrastructure.
Also, in unsteady planet Earth news, there has been a quake in Nelson now.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe not a big one, but a one. So we can continue talking about Instagram's billion-dollar payday, or we can talk about what you can do in the terrible event that the tsunami was a real thing that has already happened when you're listening to this in the podcast. What you can do is go and throw a few dollars to UNICEF or the Red Cross or whoever it is that suits your particular, you know, stripe of ideology. Go and throw them a few dollars. Every dollar helps.
Yeah.
And every $100 helps more than a dollar.
They're the best at actually using it.
What did you say, UNICEF or
Red Cross?
Oxfam aren't too bad, are they?
I don't know. Do they get into that? Who knows? I know that in previous ones that those ones have been the best.
Yeah.
Responders.
So a tweet says Indian Tsunami Warning Center says 6 meter waves are expected.
See, that's pretty big in a low-lying country like Bangladesh,
horrendous.
Right?
That is not pretty big. That is horrendously huge.
Yeah.
That is absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. So,
if that is true.
So, people of the future, please...
I only hope that now the warning systems are better in place for these
people.
What
time is it there? It's daytime on the bright side. So, no one is... It's not the dark... but somewhere really, really flat. I think Bangladesh is quite flat, coastally, very flat. Where do you get to high ground with a 6 metre wave?
Up a tree.
No, well, that's not enough. 6 metres.
No.
Good luck finding a tree that won't be bowled by it as well. Guess it depends on the tree. All right. Well, we're only guessing, of course. Let's hope that that everything turns out well. Do you know what? One way in which things did turn out definitely well, the New Zealand general election in 2008, during which the National Party returned to government after years in exile caused by Labour's super dominance and popularity. National came back because Labour got a little bit arrogant. 2008 at the end there. 2009, guess what happens? Now, this is something that I guess I could sort of remembered parts of this happening in 2009. But XKCD made a reference to this in Strip 1035.
Right.
Cadbury cream eggs. Apparently, up until 2009, New Zealand produced all of them for the world. In Dunedin.
That was good of us.
I don't know who it is.
Still a big Cadbury factory in Dunedin, right?
Yeah, but they don't do cream eggs anymore.
Ah.
It was changed. So now it's the cream eggs are made in the UK, and they're also made in somewhere in the US as well, apparently. But yeah, they were made in New Zealand for decades, maybe for the entire duration of their existence. I don't know when they first existed. I first became aware of them when I was little, so they may predate me, but that was in the 1980s. I don't know if they're actually older than that. But there was an uproar, as Layton's mentioned, and I said, I guess I sort of vaguely remember this, but it's sort of a bullshit story, until XKCD gets involved. It's sort of a bullshit story, because who gives a shit where, you know, crappy chocolate for little children is made? I don't really care. But it was right about the same time as Cadbury decided that they would change the ingredients in their chocolate and changed it to use palm oil.
They changed the size of the blocks and all that stuff.
Smaller blocks for the same price with crappier ingredients that tasted kind of foul. But Cadbury's not very good anyway. At its best, it's not very good.
No.
No. They're apparently in a new campaign to try and get some of their market back because they've been completely hosed by Whittaker's and all the other good chocolate manufacturers.
Quite right, too. As Whittaker's New Zealand owned, though, entirely New Zealand owned.
Yes, I believe so.
Well, fuck Cadbury then. Fuck them. Everyone, buy Whittaker's. It's the same or better. So why wouldn't you?
I'll find out. find out? Is it New Zealand owned?
And everyone has very happy memories of, you know, back when Whittakers were very, very simple. And they just had the peanut slab. Everyone has happy memories of a summer with a melting peanut slab, absolutely chocker with peanuts. Just a little bit enough chocolate just melting around it. And just scrumming into one of those when it's as big as your face. That's a great memory from your childhood. And that was thanks to Whittakers. So,
childhood? Last week.
All right. Well, Grant. So some of us grow up faster or slower, or I have a different kind of sweet tooth than others. I mean, I wouldn't say that. I don't eat much chocolate.
Okay, discourse New Zealand facts about Whittakers.
Yeah.
Fact number one, they have a shit website.
Oh, dear.
It's a crappy CMS with horrible URLs.
Yeah.
And it doesn't scroll properly on my computer, so I can't actually tell you anything more about them.
It's so judgmental.
No, literally, it's not really. I think it's a Flash website. No,
it is.
It's permanent. It's 100% Flash website. So it's not rendering properly.
J. H. Whittaker and Sons is a confectionery manufacturer.
I'm a little bit doubtful about buying their chocolate based on that. I don't know if I can support this sort of bullshit. User interface.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James Henry Whittaker worked in the British confectionery industry at the age of 14 and moved to Christchurch, New Zealand in 1890. 6 years later, he started manufacturing chocolate, selling it direct to customers using horse and van. In 1913, he established a partnership with his two sons, Ronald and James, based in Wellington. The business became a limited liability company in 1937, with third generation Whittakers still the sole shareholders in the company. In 1992, the company formed J.H. Whittaker Australia Limited. The company supports motor and equestrian sports nationally in New Zealand. Is that true? I don't know anything about that. Do they do motorsports
sports,
stuff?
Sports what? Motorsports,
yeah.
You say?
Yeah, apparently.
There are two shareholders for Whittakers. They are Brian Maurice Whittaker and Andrew Kevin Whittaker.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah, the company's office.
Yeah.
Well, okay, buy Whittakers.
There you go. Very simple.
Unknowing sponsors of discourse.
The company controls its entire manufacturing process, calling it, and that's much like Apple. Let's give them kudos where they deserve it. Maybe Apple actually copied their process. The company controls its entire manufacturing process, calling itself a bean-to-bar manufacturer to ensure top quality products. And I think it's probably true. Still not the greatest chocolate you'll ever taste, but pretty good.
I think in terms of value for money, or impact for dollar,
yeah.
They probably go right up there.
They're definitely well among my favourites, especially they've got a great range of dark chocolates.
Mm.
If you like dark chocolate, I do.
Yeah, a good 85%. Going too high, it starts getting a bit too savoury for me, but a good 85%, yum, yum.
How old does a company have to be to have a renaissance?
I would say if it was... Well, I mean, to be frank, all it has to have done is been wonderful and then festered for a while in mediocrity and then grown wonderful again.
So, do you think New Zealand could have a renaissance one day?
Oh, what you mean? Well, I mean, we're going to have a miniature one because presumably there's going to be a new cathedral built in Christchurch and someone will need to paint that ceiling.
So that's the same thing. Renaissance to me just talks about art and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But there is a futurist, visiting futurist, Mark Stevenson.
Oh, boy.
Who
he's so futuristic that I didn't know he existed yet. Is he a jetpack manufacturer?
I'm going to have to segue here because the Online Herald...
Oh, segues. They are the future too, Ben. The cities are going to be built around them.
The Online Herald, at some point in the last few months, must have got a bulk deal on stock photography or a license that every one of their sub-editors can go straight to Think Stock and download whatever they want. Because they have just been abusing the shit out of it. There was things like the helicopter rescue story, which had a picture of a little bird attack helicopter getting it up.
Yeah.
Which was fixed a few hours later. Horrendous. They then put a stock photo of some other rescue helicopter on there that wasn't the Westpac helicopter that was used.
Yeah.
Then there was an air crash of a twin-engine plane, and they stuck a stock photo of a Cessna on the top of it.
Oh.
And this one, visiting futurist Mark
Stevens. The propellers.
Exactly. This link I'll post into the chat room as well. But the way that it's written as well, so that there's the photo, then right underneath it says visiting futurist Mark Stevenson. So you expect the guy in the photo is Mark Stevenson. But it's a stock photo of a guy lying down typing on his laptop with, just to really give the impact that he's doing fucking internet stuff, he's got an Ethernet cable plugged into his laptop.
A big, twisty blue cable. And someone in the background is unboxing what looks like a Dell.
just great. I mean, if anything is less futurist than this stock photo, I don't know what it is.
And it's even got his name in the caption.
And he's got a pen. He's concentrating hard.
Well, he is talking on a phone. It looks like a first generation iPhone.
No, it's not even that. It looks like a candy bar.
You reckon? No, it's too wide. Surely, it might be a wide flip, I guess. But it's white. It's white. So it's definitely, if it is an iPhone, it's a girl iPhone. And he looks like he's about 25. And I don't really give a shit what a 25-year-old imagines for the future, because they don't know what the past is. They got no fucking idea about the future.
Anyway, notwithstanding the horrendously funny stock photo, Mark Stevenson says that New Zealand has the makings of a massive renaissance, with a number of small to medium-sized businesses capable of creating money off the strength of their ideas.
So this has nothing to do with having a fear and swords and...
No, it's not. No, jousting. No.
Sorry, I'm not listening again then.
No.
Is this going
to... I think, you know, irrespective of Mr. Stevenson's credentials, I agree.
In the future, no one has furniture, and there are boxes everywhere.
Sorry, that's apparently what Leighton sounds like. Wow, everyone in the world is messaging me to tell me about this earthquake. Like, private messages are coming in and DMs and texts and stuff. And it's like, did you know that this thing's happened? People really give a shit. And if it has really happened, let me reiterate, friends in the future, go and give some money to some people that are going to help. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to even get out of your goddamn chair. You can do it probably from your phone. Just remember your credit card number and go to one of those sites, Red Cross, Oxfam, UNICEF. Actually, I don't know that Oxfam are involved this early in the process. UNICEF, definitely. Red Cross, definitely. Go and help them out.
Yeah, I agree. The renaissance of small to medium businesses making money off nothing but their brains, I think it's great. I think anyone who ever thinks of investing in more cows should not.
Yeah, that destroy our environment. They fill our rivers with torrents of poo. Literally torrents of poo.
Go and do an online programming course instead of investing in cows.
Yeah. And actually, this is something we've spoken about before. I don't remember how long ago it was, but we spoke about, you know, the little players being New Zealand's new exciting exporters. Because, you know, exporting bits doesn't take up bits of New Zealand. And we don't need big international investments. So this guy here in this article, he talks about how he's going to make small ticket investments of $500,000 to $1 million. That's not small ticket in New Zealand. That's far more than we need for the vast majority of projects.
Run you, you know, five or six people for a year,
on
good salaries, doing awesome stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, interesting. I was looking. I don't know what the hell I was about to say. Probably wasn't interesting then.
Cows, dairy. So technology exporting is second only to milk.
Yeah.
It's overtaken meat.
I keep being surprised every now and again. I'll like search for web apps and stuff for various things. I've looked at. One of the obvious ones is Xero. I looked at into accounting web apps, but also some project management ones and some slightly more specific ones for things I'm interested in. And it surprises me how often New Zealand companies come up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Making quite, you know, interesting web apps and things.
And apropos that, there's also the fact that Pacific Fibre have recently passed a milestone in their funding and are even talking about ribbon-cutting dates for the new cable.
Yeah,
still bloody ages away though.
Awesome. Yeah, still 2 years away, but
it's exciting. Hell. But is it as exciting as we maybe imagine? I don't think it's going to make much difference to the cost of our internet. I've just got a feeling that they're going to come in and they're going to need to recoup their costs, and so they're not going to come in much cheaper than the other players.
Yeah, we should get Lance back on. I mean, well, I suppose Lance isn't that involved anymore, but he was adamant that they were going to do it at a reduced cost.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It doesn't make sense to have the cost too reduced, does it? It makes sense to charge what you can, which is not exactly a greater good approach, but it is the market approach. And, I mean, it's people like Sam Morgan and Rod Drury, right? They're not going to do the greater good. Well, they're going to do whatever makes the most money.
I'd be happy to pay what I pay today and not have the international congestion we have.
Yeah.
You know, so if ISPs can get it for, you know, 80%, 70% of the price.
Yeah.
So they can increase their capacity by 20 to 30% and still charge me the same amount, then I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
you know, that's going to help.
Yeah, agreed. Yep. I'm excited about the whole project. Just in, even if the cost is the same, it makes our infrastructure less vulnerable to mishaps with shipping and so on. Even if everything else is the same, then, you know, that is an advantage. But I imagine it probably will reduce the cost a bit, but I just don't know if it's going to be, you know, don't know if it's going to be that significant. Now, Dylan, do you want to bang through one or two of your stories just quite quickly? We've only got about 12 minutes to go.
That's because you guys have been prattling on about whatever the shit it is you've put in your stupid notes. What have I got? It's all .com based, all mega upload stuff.
Yeah.
Cost $70,000 to arrest, well, not to arrest .com, but to arrest and seize his assets. Apparently it costs...
I'm surprised that that's so low.
It seems low to me.
It doesn't include police salaries, and it doesn't include
45
minutes. Costs incurred by the Crown Prosecution Service. So obviously the actual cost will be much higher.
Yeah.
What is it? $11,500 in the cost of arresting .com, which didn't include police salaries, so I'm not sure what it did include.
Yeah.
And $62,000 to seize his property.
Right.
To take stuff from him.
I suppose it was like hiring trucks and.
And staff to do that.
Jeez, those guys saw a payday coming. I mean, what does it cost to move an employee internationally? You know, if you get a new, exciting new contract with a big company in the UK and they say, we'll move your household for you, it doesn't cost them $60,000, does it? These guys saw the New Zealand police coming and they were like, mark everything up, 5,000%. Let's see what we can get out of these motherfuckers.
$7,000 insuring the things they took.
Well, that sounds fair because it's better to be safe than sorry. I mean, some of the things they took out of there were hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of artworks and so on. And they would have been up shit creek if they fucked that up without insuring it.
Now, it also says that we wouldn't necessarily lose out. The taxpayer wouldn't necessarily lose out because if the conviction is successful, the items can be... can be
sold to recover. Yeah, to recover basically. The proceeds. Yeah. Right. But you, Morgan, you're saying that they need insurance and stuff.
Yeah.
What about the servers and the data?
I think it's best that we pretend there's nothing of any value on there and destroy it as quickly as possible, lest there's a chance that .com can provide any evidence that, you know, maybe there was non-infringing, non-sketchy material on there. We couldn't possibly allow him to do that. Now, could we, gentlemen?
Yeah, well... Mega Upload is saying that they believe that they are accusing the US government of attempting to destroy exculpatory evidence.
Wow, are you a flash lawyer now, Dills? That's an excellent word.
It was in quotes in an article on Wired. It's not a word I understand or use.
Yeah.
In day-to-day conversation. So
it's got something to do with plasticity, ongoing, I think.
Trying to secure the data, the 25 petabytes of data that was stored on 1,100 servers, which apparently they wanted to buy for what did they say, like $1.4 million was how much they wanted to get released so that they could buy the servers.
That seems quite cheap. That seems very cheap for that much space.
I think so.
Wow.
But the court, I think the court has not done so, or is maybe that's still ongoing. But yeah, I think it's ridiculous. Anyway, but better than spending $70,000 on arresting Kim.com, we could have, and in fact we still should, and it doesn't cost anywhere near $70,000, a New Zealand World War II veteran, who was born in London, born in the UK, but a New Zealander now, he's been living here for 60 years.
I think that counts.
He was a veteran of the Bomber Command and the RAF.
Oh, he's Flash.
Yep, he's not being... The New Zealand government is sending veterans to the UK for commemoration ceremonies, and they were going to send him, but now they're not, because he wasn't in the RNZAF, he was just in the RAF, which I think is dumb.
That is a tough call.
It seems like nickel and diming to me.
Do you know what I propose? I propose a little Kickstarter.
Well, the Nelson Mail, I believe this is on stuff.co.nz, this story. So the Nelson Mail is one of Fairfax newspapers, is taking charge, I guess, of fundraising for him or something to get him over there.
Yeah.
So you can email chiefreporter@nelsonmail.co.nz with your offer to help him.
So in further New Zealand Herald Stock Photography News. They've posted a breaking news article about the tsunami warning near, you know, from the 8.7 earthquake near Indonesia. They've included a photo of the aftermath of the tsunami, which obviously it hasn't happened yet. So what they've done is included a photo from the Boxing Day 2004 tsunami. A bit misleading.
At least they have captioned it correctly.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Fair call. Fair call on that. That's thanks to Howard Grigg. Brendan Serup in the chat room suggests maybe another John Campbell sausage sizzle to fly this chap over.
I've seen that suggested. I'm always in favour of a good sausage sizzle.
This is what governments are for, though. This is ridiculous. It's one man. And we've been spending... Now, Keith Ng, we can talk about this, you know, another week once we've actually read it all. He's just released what they've been spending on consultants and so on.
Yeah.
Wait, was that the most recent release? I think so. And it is absolutely outrageous what they're spending on consultants that if... And, you know, okay, so maybe that's not such a bad thing, but let's not forget how much the national... what are they called when they're not the government? The other side, the opposition, the national opposition. It's been so long that I forgot. The national opposition were absolutely, they were scorching Labour's ass for their expenditure on consultants, and they've spent hundreds of percent more, possibly, at this point.
So Keith's got a motion chart he's put up of government spending. I was trying to get to the actual chart.
He's a genius with his pretty pictures and charts and graphs. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know how much it would cost to send him. It doesn't seem to say in the article, at least in my half reading and half skimming past through the article before, how much it would cost to send him. But it can't be much, honestly. It would barely even, if you paid for it entirely with just out of some random government budget, it wouldn't even show up as a line item at the end of the year, I'm sure.
Jerry Brownlee's cheeseburger budget would probably only have to be reduced by about 10%.
Carl's Jr. is opening all over Auckland. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
They're everywhere.
Yep.
And there's two franchisees. There's the former All Black, or whoever the hell it is, that started the first one.
Yeah.
And now restaurant brands, who bring us KFC and Pizza Hut,
yeah,
have also secured franchise rights for Carl's Jr. So they're going...
I'm not listening until someone brings In and Out.
That's not
going to happen. Yeah, no. they're building, they're surrounding your house slowly, Ben. They're going to do one in Avondale and one in Henderson, so you won't have far to go.
Rock on the West.
Yeah.
I'm concerned, though, that I'll have to modify my BPD.
Ben, do you want to do that violent gaming leads to surprise?
Just quickly, studies suggest violent gaming leads to cooperation, not aggression, which, I mean, I think we've always known. When you get aggressive cocks on a multiplayer game, you tend to move to a different server, don't you?
Yeah.
Now, let's be fair, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold were very cooperative.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Too soon?
Always too soon. Anyway...
Corrections.
The Discourse editorial crew do not mean to minimise the heartbreak and tragic loss of all the families involved with the Columbine school shooting tragedy.
All I'm proposing here is the juxtaposition between the typical thought that violent video gaming causes violent outbursts, especially among children, i.e. Columbine, and in fact perhaps something different.
The Discourse editorial crew would like to assure our listeners that our former host, Dylan Reeve, has been sent for counselling and re-education in a North Korean work camp.
I'd like to suggest that there are bigger problems than gaming involved in Dylan and Klebold and what's his name.
No, it's all violent video games.
Anyway, the paper How Gamers Manage Aggression, Situating Skills in Collaborative Computer Games, published in the International Journal of Computer-Supported Collaborative Learning, concerns the results of violent video games, specifically ones with a strong cooperative or competitive focus.
Okay.
So what they said is the situation gamers encounter call for sophisticated and well-coordinated collaboration. We analyse what characteristics and knowledge of the gamers need to have in order to be successful. And they found that being calm and calculating and less aggressive is a winning strategy.
I think that depends entirely on the game you're playing and who you're playing it with. I remember Morgan and I used to play very cooperatively in Counter-Strike, but now if you watch people play Counter-Strike, they just... It's like when Quake went from being Quake to being just shooting each other with rocket launchers.
Yeah.
That's where Counter-Strike's gone.
Cooperation's been replaced by sort of zombie shooters and that sort of stuff, like Left 4 Dead, where you get that collaborative, oh my god, we're in big trouble kind of situation, and help each other out and, you know, watch each other's backs.
Well, of course, in that situation, I mean, everyone, hardwired human response is to cooperate in the event of a zombie attack.
Yes, this is true.
I mean, that's, you can't bypass that.
For the remainder of season 3, the role of Dylan Reeve will be played by a voice actor. Yeah, we played very well. We played very friendlily, and then we would shoot each other, and we would laugh and eat pizza, and it was fun.
Yeah,
so much pizza.
I want to see a study into the backgrounds of people that have done things that have been blamed on violent computer games.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look at a correlation there, as opposed to a correlation as to the games being the issue.
Yeah,
there's plenty of correlations to be drawn. It's usually about what's, you know, being isolated and
socioeconomic and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, lots of different things. But you know, none of those. You can't find any one cause for those types of things. There's larger mental health issues at play.
So now, tell me, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Sky TV played the first episode on iSky 48 hours after it was played in the States.
Yes.
That was only the first episode, right?
Yeah.
So yes. Subsequent episodes are only being made available after they're being played online. On Sky, not overseas.
Yes.
And I went over to my... I don't have Sky, so I didn't watch it on iSky. I went over to my auntie's place and watched it on her PVR. And I thought that season 2, episode 1 of Game of Thrones was rubbish. I thought that the pacing was weird and it just felt scattered and just not particularly good. But then I went over to my auntie's place and I watched season 2, episode 2, and it was brilliant, except for one thing. Too much fucking, too many tits, too much, almost all of the female characters, of which some aren't strong and non-sexual objects, almost all of them, though, almost all female characters are basically whores or idiots, and they're treated as places to put a penis, for the most part. And I think it's actually quite appalling.
Is it like that in the books?
Oh, I've got no idea. No, I haven't.
Neither have I. Have you read the books, Stills?
No.
Anyone in the chat room read the books? I'd only have to presume that it's the same in the books, but that doesn't forgive it at all.
Well, a TV show is not a book, right? I mean, you change the bits that it makes sense to change.
What, just for the sake of it, what Sky is doing, what they got, the iSky thing was a preview, and then on the 16th of April, which is, I guess, a few days, they're going to play the first two episodes as a double episode, and then from then on they'll be playing 1 week behind the States.
Right.
And apparently that was mainly to do with just the scheduling issues. They couldn't schedule it sooner. That's why they're doing a double episode to start.
It's not gonna fix it, is it? What I mean by it.
Yeah.
One week delay doesn't fix it.
It depends. Like, I always, Lost is always the example that I bring up because it was a show that promoted people to discuss it so intensely.
Yeah.
And that if you were a fan of Lost and you lived somewhere other than the US, it was almost impossible to not
get spoiled.
Not, you know, if you were a serious fan, to not encounter spoilers, because you couldn't go to all the Lost fan sites and discuss it because, you know, there'd be spoilers. And
yeah.
You know, if you even Twitter and stuff, you know, if you follow people who are involved in TV shows you like, then spoilers. It's interesting because I follow the producer of The Almighty Johnsons, and he retweets quite a lot of things that people tweet about The Almighty Johnsons, and one of them was that it's playing in the UK. It's doing quite well in the UK on the Sci-Fi Channel, I think.
Export!
They're playing the first season, and so he's got a lot of followers from the UK who are into The Almighty Johnsons, but of course the second season has just started playing in New Zealand, so he's sending tweets about it and retweeting other people's tweets about it, and they're complaining that he's spoiling it for them.
Mm.
And it's the same sort of thing. Yeah, the time delay, you know, it was fine. No one really cared when we didn't, you know, when we had to send a letter or a fax or something to communicate with the US. But now when we're so used to instant communications...
1 minute.
There's, you know, the delay is unacceptable in some cases.
Hello, my name is Dylan. Nothing has changed. This is what my voice always sounded like. Something, something, Almighty Johnston's.
So I see we're auditioning the new voice actors. That's good.
I'm not sure. Can you hear something, Ben? I think maybe there's like a ghost on the line. Is that?
Yeah, there's an echo. It's
yeah, weird, isn't it?
Hey, Dylan.
Yeah.
Speaking of watching stuff internationally, do you want to be able to stream Hulu or BBC iPlayer, even though you're not currently in America or the UK?
That'd be splendid.
Do you have some reason for wanting people who try to look at your internet connection to see not that you're in New Zealand, but instead that you're on some anonymous IP address? Oh, shit, no, too late. Thank you for listening. Latest episode of Discourse, worth it for the Bradley Smith Choice Jackson Mind. That was the tote bag.
Discourse.co.nz/BPM.
Two. Thank you for listening. Love you. See you next week. One. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Dylan.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on Sorry. With course.
All right. We're using that one.